everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. The channel says, what the heck? The stream did not show when I directly viewed your Odyssey channel. I had to go through your Twitter link. I'd be surprised if it's censorship. Odyssey sometimes has a problem of caching of the channel page. I would bet that it's this. I don't see them censored just because it's a criminal affair. This channel has been covering criminal affairs constantly, and it's not been a problem. It's part of the news that we need to cover. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? When you're white, the FBI will do whatever it can to get you involved in a kidnap a politician plot. People will remember Governor Whitmer. You know, the FBI had set up everything to catch a bunch of people. They had set up the whole story. They were the ones suggesting the kidnapping. And they caught a bunch of autists who were just willing to play along with the plan. That's what the FBI does to white people, get them involved through pressure from the state, get them involved into criminal kidnapping of people. But when a non-white literally rams a U-Haul truck into the White House barriers while screaming, I'm here to kidnap the president, they will still drop the charges. Believe it or not, the federal charges have been dropped against this man, and they've downgraded it to damaging property. How is the guy saying, the guy is saying, I'm here to kidnap the president. Now, yesterday I did say that I consider he's probably a schizophrenic, and I find our justice system very unfair in processing mental health issues. But that's an example of the unfairness, the fact that why did they stop the prosecution first? Why did they drop the charges? Are they saying that he's a schizophrenic and that it's because he was not in a mental state to understand what he was doing? What is it? And if he was not in a mental state to understand, why is he in a mental state to understand that he's damaged property? The mens rea for property damage, isn't it the same one as the mens rea for the kidnapping of the president here? All in all, I'm not complaining because I did ask myself that this guy not be sued too much, but I would like it if white people could benefit from similar considerations when they do stuff. My suspicion is that there's a form of bigotry of low expectations in those decisions. Bigotry of low expectations in the sense that because white people have higher IQ, I think it is easier to imagine a white person planning some evil in his head. Whereas when you see someone who's goofy like this guy, who comes with a Nazi flag while not being white and who comes with a U-Haul truck that has no chance to work, because he's low IQ, he gets a pass. Now, that is the beginning of the rule of stupidity, of the rule of idiocracy in our societies. Because this bigotry of low expectations basically means that we don't have a punishing system in our society for the stupid. The stupid always gets away with it. Go away, says Jeff. They're saving him for something else. He will be killed by a white in a case of potentially unjustifiable self-defense. It's all staged. Out there, hypotheses that are not justified. Fuck your crap. Go away. John Drake says, yep, he seems to agree with my theory. Adidas quietly won a court order freezing $75 million held by Kanye's Yeezy brand, and it wants to keep it that way. Newly unsealed court records confirm the shoe company is trying to keep millions in Yeezy's accounts frozen amid their high-profile business divorce. this is exactly why money at the bank, you should not consider that it's yours. Money at the bank is a property of the judges of this country, and they can take it whenever they want. So you want to have, if you do need a bank, you want to keep a low amount of money in there, because whatever is in there is extremely seizable. Any judge can, on a whim, and in this case, Ye was not even told that this proceeding was happening. It was an ex parte proceeding, one of these proceedings where Adidas argued, well, if we tell him that we're making a trial about this, he's going to run with the money. And the judge accepted this argument, so Ye didn't even get a fair hearing on this. They froze his money in the bank account, $75 million, because Adidas wanted to lead the legal fight against him and let us remind ourselves that Ye is the one who came out there with First Amendment protected free speech, and Adidas decided to terminate their arrangement with him. So Adidas on its side breaks their own contract with him voluntarily, but then they say, oh yeah, and your money, we're taking it back. That is absolutely disgusting, and I hope that it doesn't turn that way, but I don't trust the judiciary system. But ultimately here what we have is a First Amendment protected speech. You can argue all sorts of things around the business contracts that was linking him to Adidas, but a business contract should not shut down your freedom of speech protected under the American Constitution. Go away, says Yek. Yek can release a new album and make another $75 million. Yes, in a way, I'm not afraid that he's going to be in a bad spot financially. I think whatever happens to Ye, he will always survive. But that's the lesson for people accumulating a lot of wealth. It's much safer in the crypto world, I believe, than it is in the mainstream world. The mainstream world, it's a bunch of predators. They're just waiting for you to make an error and they're going to go at you. fascinating letter. In a case, the case of Brian Laundry, Brian Christopher Laundry. I've followed this case because it had touched me, this whole story, and what exactly motivated his killing of Gabby Petito, because his suicide note makes up a story around Gabby Petito suffering from hypothermia, and he decided to end her suffering because she had had an injury, and he was trying to carry her back, and she was suffering too much, and he decided to end her suffering out of a kind of compassionate murder type of drive. Now, that is a weird story. New guy says she was cold and needed to die. I don't think it's a serious hypothesis, especially given the location of her body was basically exactly where their van had stopped. It was like within a mile. We could see it. We could see, if you're within a mile of your car, that's not time for compassionate murder. It's time for carrying the woman, the injured woman, and bringing her to the car. So I think that before his death, before his suicide, because he ended up killing himself, Brian Laundry probably wanted to save face, probably wanted to appease the nation, and probably also wanted to appease his own mother. Basically, he didn't want to leave his parents with the idea that they were the parents of a murderer. And that is why he would have made up this whole story, to try to kind of a last argument before leaving this earth, so that he can make it more digestible for his own family. I don't think he fooled anyone with this story, but I've been totally moved by this letter. A letter that was given by Brian Laundrie's mother to him. Brian Christopher Laundrie, burn after reading. So we would not be supposed to be seeing this letter if Brian Laundrie wasn't a vegan with a careless mind, because clearly her mother instructed him to burn the letter after reading it. And he didn't, because we found the letter. You know, when your mother instructs you to burn after reading, you have to burn the letter. But of course, this guy has no brain. He's a vegan. He's a granola vegan who eats yogurt in the morning. So it doesn't cross his mind that by dying, by killing himself, and, you know, since he killed himself, we knew he had the time. He would have had the time to burn this letter, but he didn't, out of carelessness or not thinking about it. If there's an instruction, burn after reading, it means there may be things in there that are giving potential criminal responsibility to your mother. And you don't want to put your mother in trouble. And so by leaving this letter out there, he has potentially put his mother in trouble, because the statements are quite hard in this letter, but they are statements from a Christian mother, it would seem, who has eternal and unconditional love for her son. Go Away says it was just an acknowledgement to her favorite movie, Burn After Reading, directed by the Coen brothers. It's a fascinating movie, very well filmed, very Coen brother style. I like this movie, but I don't think it was such a reference. I just want you to remember, I will always love you, and I know you will always love me. You are my boy. Nothing can make me stop loving you. Nothing will or could ever divide us, no matter what we do or where we go or what we say. We will always love each other. If you're in jail, I will bake a cake with a file in it. If you need to dispose of a body, I will show up with a shovel and garbage bags. If you fly to the moon, I will be watching the skies for your re-entry. If you say you hate my guts, I'll get new guts. Remember that love is a verb, not a noun. It's not a thing. It's not words. It is actions. Watch people's actions to know if they love you, not their words. Quoting the Bible, she states, therefore, I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor the ruling spirits, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers from above, nor powers from below, nothing in the entire created world can separate our love. Neither hostile powers, nor messengers of heaven, nor monarch of hurt, nothing has the power to separate us. Romans 8:38, extended version. Nothing can separate us. Not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not threats, not even sin. Not the thinkable or unthinkable can get between us. Not time, not miles, and miles and miles. New guy says, so I'm going to cry now. Well, it is a true motherly love that should be like this. You know, it should be like this. If you didn't get a chance to have a mother like this, that is the ideal mother. Now, she says stuff that I'm sure she wouldn't do, or that she, you know, she would put a file in a cake so that he can escape jail. She says she would show up to a scene of murder to dispose of a body for him. That's, I take issue with this, that she's going to get in trouble for this. And that's because the family of Gabby Petito is suing the Laundrie family, that are kind of trying to present them as having participated to the murder in a sense by hiding Brian Laundrie. And this is where I've been commenting on this before, precisely on this case. I think there's a failure in our law to acknowledge the trust relationships that exist between parents and children. Because in the law, there is such a thing that you don't have to denunciate or collaborate or even answer the truth when your husband or wife is suspected of a crime. In other words, you inherit from their right to keep silent. And you are not expected to provide anything in a court of law that would go against them. You are basically treated as if his right to keep silent or her right to keep silent is also yours. This right does not exist for some reason between parents and children. And to me, the link between parents and children, if anything, is more important than the link between wife and husband. In the sense that the wife is still, you know, a competitor, can still betray you, that the child is your genetics forever. New guy says, accessory after the fact, let the parents be. John Drake says, she just put the family home at risk, minimum. Yeah, it is very sad that we have here, like, if you have a vegan son who happens to be a murderer, don't trust him to burn the letter after he reads it, because his brain is totally deprived of proteins and fat, which is essential for the constitution of the brain. And now he puts his mother in trouble, and potentially, if the lawsuit does win, like you say, she may end up losing the family home. Because now they show this to a jury. Well, I will show up with a shovel and garbage bags. Now the jury will think, oh, well, here's something wrong. But the fact is, there's nothing wrong in saying this, even after a murder. Because what do you want to do after the murder is already committed? You're not going to change the situation. So you want to show compassion. And you know, if anything, this warm motherly love may have convinced Brian Laundrie to show himself to the authorities, to show, oh, well, you know, I'll always have the love of my mother, so I can go to jail. So it's all very stupid. It's stupid to have written this and given this to a vegan. It's stupid for Brian Laundrie not to have burned it. And it's stupid that it's going to get brought up in a court trial that is ultimately a trial of frustration by a family who lost someone, who lost Gabby Petito, but who wants a vengeance against people who didn't kill Gabby Petito. I hate those trials about the parents. They've done it to the parents of shooters sometime for carelessness and getting a gun, and then their son took the gun and made a shooting with it. I object to all of it. Go away, says Shirley. She can argue that she was just trying to stop him from committing suicide. You can't prosecute a dead guy after all. Yeah, she can argue this, but it's problematic that she has to do it to me. It's unfair. Unfair that she will, that a jury will have for a moment a leverage against this woman who has done here, I believe, just a demonstration of love in a moment where love was the only thing you could do. It's not like you can bring Gabby Petito back to life. Hopefully she can explain that to the jury. Greg Price says, breaking, oh my God, it's going bad for Target. They were just getting out of this Pride stuff, and now there's an email coming out that they sent to employees for the anniversary of George Floyd. I have obtained the internal email that Target sent to their employees following the Pride Month disaster that has caused them to lose $9 billion in 1 week, where it goes from standing with the LGBTQIA+ community to the anniversary of George Floyd laughing my ass off. Yesterday was a very hard day for Target, and as CEO Brian Cornell said, thank you for the care you've shown each other, our frontline teams, and the LGBTQIA+ community. Today brings more reflection, pain, and the need for continued care as our team, hometown, and world remember the anniversary of the murderer of George Floyd. Of the murder of George Floyd. Wow. As you make space to take care of yourself and each other, know that you can always tap into these tools from Team Member Life Resources. And as Mental Health Awareness Month continues, turn to the Take 5 to Take Care Hub for more well-being support. The wokeness of Target. I love these little campaigns that the center-right is organizing. You know, the MAGA people and Republicans. They're going after these random corporations, like, and they're creating stories and showing offense at various things here, George Floyd anniversary. I think that ultimately this will create a force of intimidation onto the corporate world, and eventually the corporate world is going to ask itself, is the little email, the pro-BLM email, is it really worth it? Is the little LGBTQ plus flag really worth it? And eventually they're going to reach the conclusion that it's not. John Drake says, happy to see people boycotting this ESG woke crap. It's actually helping some. Yeah, I think there's an effect there. I think some of it is arbitrary in a way and ridiculous, but there's definitely an effect. And, you know, the leftists are at war with right-wing ideology, whether it's logical or not logical. So you want war, let's do war, because you guys have been working so much on extending your influence onto society. It's like you never give up. So let's do the same. Let's never give up. And any corporation that shows any sign of support to this stuff, let us go after them. I expanded on a point that I've made yesterday already. I wanted to rectify the record on... I'm trying to find the tweet. Here it is. I wanted to rectify the record on this whole subject that was a typical intervention back in the days of Steven Pinker. You know, that's a 2002 article. Have you heard it's in the genes? Steven Pinker tells Tim Radford, even your kids' friends have more influence than you do. It's tough being a parent. You try your best and the kids grow up in spite of you. According to Steven Pinker, time and again, he says the most exhaustive attempts by researchers to document the role of parents has failed to find any significant influence. For example, identical twins reared together were no more similar than identical twins reared apart. So this has been a mainstream discourse, this denial of the parental contribution to children. And yesterday I laid out two things that I think about this. I think the evolutionary, the psychology studies on this subject are absolute crap. I think they don't capture what is truly the advantage of a parent. And they're trying to find, you know, the psychology of the parent. They're trying to say, oh, this parent is authoritative. This parent is not authoritative. This parent is more liberal. So if you go with the wrong hypotheses, of course you're going to find no influence. But there's a serious question about whether psychology is at all even able to quantify parental behavior, to find the right ones, to study the right hypotheses. That is my first thought. Don't trust the studies that that claim we didn't find something, because the fact that you didn't find something may mean two things. One, okay, parents don't matter. But the alternative hypothesis is, and it turns out it's the fuck you finger that was the alternative hypothesis. The alternative hypothesis is that psychology is bad. So bad that you can't even classify parents in a way that matters. That's my first belief. My second belief is evolution would have gotten rid of the part of your brain that makes you invest so much energy in children if it didn't matter. It's impossible for evolution to make you invest effort for 18 years of your child's life, make you invest massive amounts of effort to give him all of the advantage that you want to give him, and somehow it serves no purpose at all. That is impossible. It's impossible for evolution to leave even an organ that would consume maybe 1% of your energy, but your children will consume much more than 1% of your energy. So if it was absolutely useless, evolution would have kicked it out. The same way evolution wouldn't have birds build nests if the nests weren't advantageous in some way. So I laid this out yesterday on a thread. I said the two positions go as follows. One, parents matter in the raising of a child, as one could intuitively guess. Two, parents don't matter very much in how a child grows up. Scientific attempts at capturing parental correlations with child outcomes have failed. Genes matter most. The view number two is very subversive, because it can present itself as a somewhat based biological deterministic view, when in fact I will show it is simply wrong. The parents don't matter view has had prominent support, including that of Steven Pinker. Now here's the list of arguments on this side and why they are wrong. One, twins reared apart end up as similar as twins reared together, independent of parents. The problem with this is these twin studies are based on small samples in which it is impossible to capture the real diversity of parents. Twins of a given socioeconomic background who do end up separated might end up being adopted in similar economic background families, thus ending up with parents that are more similar than the full range of the population. Think, for example, if you're a white twin, your mother abandoned you and your twin brother, you will most likely end up in a white family. So you will not even test the parental range that exists in society between the black parent and the white parent. So already there you have something that doesn't test the full range. Now, you also will find yourself to be the adoptive son or daughter of whoever has adopted you. And it may be that biological parents have a fundamentally different way to deliver services to children that they adopt versus children that they are the biological parents of. So you have a failure of the test of the hypothesis in those studies. Now, you may be surprised at hearing me criticize twin studies. The fact is, twin studies are very good for a number of things, but they're not good at evaluating the parent quality. In fact, they're the worst place you could look for, because you're working with a population that is basically exclusively adopted. So by definition, you're kicking away any potential biological parents' drive to help their children. And, you know, there may be different attitudes around inheritance, around paying for school programs, around all sorts of things that parents do for their biological children, they might not do with the same enthusiasm for a adopted children. Go away, says Jeff. I'm white, but I was adopted by a black family, and despite dealing drugs for almost a decade in my younger years, I now watch JF every day, and I'm also an incel. Jeans always win. Go away and his crazy stories. None of it is true, go away. You are a middle-class Australian child who's from the basement of his mother who annoys public personalities on the internet. There, I got you in a nutshell, go away. Yeah, so that's a problem. We don't even cover in these studies. These studies are good for studying an outcome or a phenotypic characteristic that is not hypothesized to be influenced by parental quality. Because you play with only people who are adopted, that's your experimental group. The whole experimental group is adopted and therefore suffers from any effect of the parent-to-child relationship when it's adopted versus biological. You have messed with your experimental group when you study specifically those twins. Now, I say twins of a... Okay, this one I read. Number two. When they come and they say, we tried to capture measure XYZ of parenting style, and it was found to have no effect on child outcome. The problem with this view. This is more a testament to the lack of the value of the psychological method than it is to the lack of value of parenting. These studies are based on biased conceptions around what is parenting style and what is not. For instance, a given study may look at authoritarian parenting as a measure, considering it to be a parental feature, but might not look at neighborhood choice or salary of the parent as a parental feature. This is a major mistake. I propose that just like the bird's nest is a parental contribution that matters to the bird's life, the home and economic environment that is built by the parent around the child should also be included as a parental contribution to the child's life. And we do know that these things matter. Else, why would we have these eternal discussions around whether it's the genes or the socioeconomic environment that causes XYZ? If you have to believe there's a difference in the first place, if you come to that debate anyhow. So that is very important. There is a devil in the detail case here. The devil is in the detail of how psychologists classify what's a parental contribution. Because typically they will take neighborhood violence, they will take even the salary of the parent, the socioeconomic status, the home, and they will not attribute it. They will not care about it as a parental feature. But it's a parental feature. What is it that leads you to be in a high socioeconomic status? It's the freaking parent. What is it that leads you to be part of a neighborhood where they twerk and they, like everyone twerks, no matter what happens, someone has a cell phone, films, and people twerk? That is because of your parents. Your parents made the decision that led you into twerking land. So the devil is in the detail in that you can realize that in the way these studies are designed by psychologists, it's as if they have been designed to obfuscate the parental contribution to the child's life. It's as if they were part of a subversive attempt to deceive people about the true importance of parenting. Cloud Warmer says, JF, go away is part of a twin experiment. His twin is a half Asian. His twin is a half-Asian, BIPOC, trans-disabled woman called Please called Please Come Home. That is the name of the Asian BIPOC trans disabled woman. Please come home. Okay, well, go away. I respect you and your twin. No problem. Great Ape says, Jeff, when you look at Google Earth, it seems like there are so many old river beds that move across the Sahara. There are also some very interesting large extinct volcanic regions in northern Chad. Does this suggest that humans may have moved in and out of Africa for many years, not just out? Oh, I absolutely believe that there must have been also moving in. The out of Africa theory does not imply that no one moved back in. Certainly not. No, no. No, it doesn't imply this. Now, I don't know about the geographic feature you just mentioned. Why would the presence of old rivers in the Sahara have anything to do with the return of people to Africa? People don't cause rivers, you know. People do gather around rivers, but they don't cause rivers to come into existence. Cloud Warmer says, JF, a lot of these points taken by leftists are contradictory. Simultaneously, parents and genetics don't matter. Yes, that is so fascinating. They are a construct, but then there is also systemic advantages and privilege. Yeah, if there's systemic advantage, the parents is delivering it. Like, if there's a systemic advantage in people from white families getting better homes in general, that is still a better home that your white parent has gotten for you, you know? It's like certain religious doctrines where the contradictory points lead to both answers being yes, absolutely. And I see kind of the same thing on the side of those who are pro-biology and pro-genes. In this particular debate, they have an extreme difficulty at understanding this is where you have to give up twin studies. They're not good at this. They're not good precisely at this. And it's like there are people, and I comment on them on this thread. There are people for whom, no, it's either the genes or the parents. I will comment on this later in the thread. Three, that's exactly where I'm at. How can you believe all this? Weren't you the it's all in the genes guy? So now you're saying it's not in the genes? People supporting the parents don't matter view are saying it's in the genes. I haven't said it's not in the genes. My point is your proper thinking about the importance of genes is being used against you, subversively. Yes, genes are important to the outcome, but that doesn't mean the genetic effect doesn't operate through parents. In other words, you have been led to believe in a false dichotomy, that it was either genes or parents. The bird building a nest isn't subject to such a dichotomous view. It's both the parents and the genes that are to be credited when a bird builds a nest. Evolution wouldn't keep so much of our energy investment toward children if it truly didn't matter. Just like it wouldn't keep birds who build nests if the nest didn't matter. What's easier to believe? That somehow evolution has been amended and has kept a huge part of your brain to care about your children at massive cost to yourself for no reason at all? Or that a bunch of psychologists in academia have just failed at capturing what matters in the parenting? I choose the second route. In fact, I say it is instructive to look at what psychologists didn't look into in those studies. They looked at emotional and communicative styles, but they didn't look at parental employment, income, inheritance, socioeconomic status, level of neighborhood violence. And they looked at abuse, but they often discard it in those arguments by saying, except in cases of abuse, ... Fact is, you can't both think that socioeconomic status has any impact on outcomes and also think that parents don't matter. You've just been led down a deceptive path to think that economic status has nothing to do with parenting, when it does. In the end, is it so surprising that the very academics who make it a business to be paid to replace the parental input toward children would reach the conclusion that you don't matter as a parent? Wake up, you're being subverted. This is a very important message because we have to face this subversive campaign that has been happening for decades. People have been led down a false path by the Steven Pinkers of this world that leads them to believe, oh, well, if you want to believe that it's in the genes, then it can't be in the parent. Very important that we give up this dichotomy. It doesn't exist. The genes act through yourself, through your body, just like they act through the body of your parents. And the genes are unable to do anything in the world if it's not through someone causing some action. Great Ape says, because the ancient humans needed water and food to cross Sahara. Without it, they die. They must have used the river. Currently, only the Nile crosses. Well, I get the thinking, but that's fallacious thinking. See? It's fallacious thinking to say there is a river, therefore there was a way for humans to pass, therefore humans passed. You haven't uncovered evidence that humans passed. So I'm not saying humans didn't pass. Of course, I told you, my default hypothesis is that humans passed both ways at many times. But the evidence you cite to this effect is invalid. The fact that there's a river doesn't allow you to conclude humans have passed. So you're back to nothingness. You're back to, yeah, human probably passed, but I don't know. So that's why I was confused. I was confused about, are you using the fact that there's a river as evidence that humans were there? Because it is not valid. I wouldn't use it that way. Great Ape says, separating the genes from the environment is actually impossible. You can only disentangle the two when either the genes are held constant or the environment. This never happens in nature, so all of the statistical analysis are flawed. I agree. Unless you want to define them in a way that is separable, unless you want to say, I'm looking at, when I talk about the environment, I talk about this, and when I talk about the gene, I talk about this gene. But if you want to go with a broad definition of the environment, you indeed are led in a very complex direction where the environment is made up of other genes. And the genes that are in the baby are also in the parents. And the genes in the parents are part of the environment of the baby. So genes equals environment. Trump just posted this on Instagram. I'm losing my mind. That was an hilarious video that Trump published. It's a parody of the Elon Musk announcement with Ron DeSantis on Twitter Space. And there's Adolf Hitler, George Soros, Klaus Schwab, the FBI, and the devil.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter Space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on?
I was waiting through the whole 2 minutes, waiting for Adolf Hitler to start speaking.
For a second.
Hilfe, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
microphone. I don't think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello!
Just shut up, George.
Can somebody just mute George?
Dick, could you try not to cough on the...
Dick Cheney is coughing on the mic.
Okay, so how are we going to take out Trump, you guys?
Guys from the FBI, this is not a private call. This is a public Twitter space. Everyone can listen in.
God damn it.
the FBI is like, holy shit, I didn't know it was public.
Anyway, guys, we invited everyone to this this Twitter space so Governor Ron DeSantis could...
Everyone just shut the hell up so I can make my announcement, okay?
You go, girl.
Wait, the devil is gay?
So what? Everyone in this call is gay.
Guys, can we please just calm down?
I think that Klaus Schwab is put as the guy who comes in worried and says, "My Führer." It's, I believe that it's his voice that says it.
Guys, can we please just calm down?
So anyway, guys, I just wanted to announce that I'm...
Okay, I can hear the governor very well.
Shut up, would you please shut up already? I'm running for fucking president, okay?
Yeah, we kind of already knew about it.
We already know, governor.
Congratulations, governor.
Well, that concludes our Twitter space for today. Thank you to all of our...
Hold your horses, Elon. The real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick your ass very soon. Hitler, you're already dead.
I don't like that that at the end, Donald Trump is throwing shade at Hitler by telling him, you're already dead. It's like, don't beat on a dead horse, bro. But it was funny. I laughed my ass off when it got published yesterday. Backlash and boycott calls hit North Face after ad featuring drag queen inviting everyone to come out. A North Face advertisement.
Hi, it's me, Patagonia, a real-life homosexual. And today I'm here with the North Face.
What? A real-life homosexual?
Real life homosexual. And today I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride. So come outside and celebrate the beautiful LGHGTV community. It's pretty gay.
It is pretty gay indeed. Here's one thing I agree with the person. Holy shit, it's real. There was nothing on the North Face Twitter feed, but it's on the website. Oh my God. With children being involved in the coming out campaign. Unacceptable Views says, all of this is from idiot woman in executive positions. It definitely is. That, I mean, what's the difference between right now and 100 years ago? Women are making these decisions where they didn't 100 years ago. So that's why we get this pride promotion. I mean, you don't want to drag attention toward you in the current cultural context. You're going to get punished. Go Away says, JF, did it say its name was Patagonia? Isn't that a competing brand of North Face? Look, I'm not going to look into the detail of this ad. If you want to do your research and publish an extensive paper about it, you go ahead. LinkedIn censors presidential candidate who says fossil fuels required for prosperity. So at this point, you don't even have to be anti-vax. Just saying, hey, we need fuel for our cars. And just that will get you banned from LinkedIn. LinkedIn, whose founder Reid Hoffman funded a Russian bot hoax, Russian bot hoax against GOP candidate Roy Moore and underwrote Trump accuser E. Jean Carroll's lawsuit, has locked the account of GOP presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Expressing fact-based views as a presidential candidate about climate policy and Biden's relationships with China. Big tech election interference has begun. LinkedIn locked my account and censored me this week for posting videos where I expressed fact-based views as a presidential candidate about climate policy and Biden's relationships with China. They said it violated their policies relating to misinformation, hate speech, and violence. Wow. Misinformation, hate speech, and violence. Someone was sharing, I believe it's an old discourse of Putin. Putin delivers a speech on the destruction of Western society.
We look in amazement at the processes underway in the countries, which have been traditionally looked at as the standard bearers of progress. Of course, the social and cultural shocks that are taking place in the United States and the Western Europe are none of our business. We are keeping out of this. Some people in the West believe that an aggressive elimination of entire pages from their own history, reverse discrimination against the majority of the interests of a minority, and the demand to give up the traditional notions of mother, father, family, and even gender. They believe that all of these are the mileposts on the path towards social renewal. The advocates of so-called social progress believe they are introducing humanity to some kind of a new and better consciousness.
Very good description. I think he has a very good understanding of what's happening in the West, and I'm thankful that he's pressing on these issues. Perhaps he's doing it strategically, but anyone who comes to the support of the reasonable people of the West, I will take it. Unacceptable Views says something I didn't know about. Pornhub's gay portal search trends show the overwhelming vast majority of porn that gay men search for involves straight. Wow, so the gay men themselves are tired at seeing dicks on their screen, and they're like, I'd like a change for a while. Wow, isn't that fascinating? I'm not surprised. It's fascinating that we can gather this information, because I think that ultimately it's impossible that whatever genes end up making you gay, whatever set of circumstances or genes end up making you gay, combined together, I would be very surprised if they could revert the ultimate attraction of the man for the female, for reproduction. Now, Unacceptable View sends me the link. I don't know if I click on this, there's... no. okay. United States proportion of gay visitors, 2020... The district has the largest proportion of visitors viewing porn gay section at 337. Well, where is it? Do I need to scroll through the whole page? Most viewed relative gay categories. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, this is important. I'm gonna try to isolate it from the gay page here. Open image in a new tab. Is this for real? I think it's for real. It does look serious. Wow. We get an insight into the priority gay category searches for the entirety of America by state. Wow. Get ready. The whole east of this country dreams of being fucked by black men. Look at this. Black. College, fetish, bear. What the fuck is happening here? Bear? Do they want to see... do they want to see bear porn? Where is that? In Montana? Or what kind of backward place has their gaze? Okay, it's a hairy form of porn. Says Tri... How do you know this? How do you know this? Bear is a form of gay porn with lots of hair. Bears are large gay men, hairy. How do you guys know this? What the fuck? Okay, I don't even know what this term is. I don't even want to say it because... Can you guys explain to me what is this word right here? I'm sure it is a dirty word of crazy stuff, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it means. Latino. Somehow there is definitely a Latino effect to the southern border. Alaska, of course, a country of ice and snow onto the cream pie. Wow. And look at this. Straight guys, straight guys, straight guys. There is the belt of failure to fully be gay. Is that a new category of people, a new category of states that we may target for political action? Like, I look at this map and I'm like, okay, if I was to make a hetero campaign in America trying to convert gay men to heterosexual lifestyle, I think that would be where I have the most success. Because this is the belt of the East, where surrounded by black lovers, these guys, they want to see porn from straight people. Do not publish links like this, Gray Tape. Too dangerous. There's too much exclamation marks in there. I don't know if I was to click on this or if someone was to click on this, I wouldn't want them to get in trouble or to get scammed. Well. Japanese also is a thing. Japanese right at the center of America, somehow Japanese. That's a thing. Go away, says Jeff. Now do the straight one. Is that a real thing? Are you kidding me? This is so dull. Everyone wants lesbian. Stepmoms. Of course, stepmom in Alaska. Of course. Because of Sarah Palin, I guess. The whole MILF type, stepmom type of stuff. I'm not surprised at all. Stepsister, lesbian. Cartoon. What the fuck? And then the black effect that we had in the homosexual category is present, but it is more restricted. You know, the black lover behavior spread across the whole coast of the East for the homosexuals, whereas it is limited to the South for the hetero. Well, the stepsister, I had heard that this was a strong... Stepmom and stepsister, I had heard that this was a strong form of porn that people Google for a lot. But I'm so disappointed that... Because lesbians is not sexy at all. It's I hate when there's two women. I understand that it's a trip for a lot of guys, not for me. So I'm so disappointed by the dullness of the porn that is being watched by people, you know, in the US. I think that twice the amount of women is twice the trouble, really. Countering censorship with free speech and facts. At the center of democracy is free speech, but everywhere you look, it is under attack. There has been a surge in concerns about the creeping censorship that fills the airwaves and the increasing suppression on various media platforms. The labeling technique, you pigeonhole something as anti-something or phobic or ist. It may paint you as a right-winger or a left-winger. The aim is to put you in your place. You're someone with a fixed ideology and consequently a terrible person. Therefore, your views aren't worth engaging with. This is a common tactic as it doesn't address the message you portray, but instead attacks you, the messenger. It's a tactic that academics often use. Jeremy Farrar used it in his book. Somehow there are serious scientists, and therefore there are those that lack the ability to be serious. That is a great analysis of what's going on. They do these personal attacks. They try to discredit you, and only a little part of the population is truly capable of being attracted to people who make arguments for the sake of the arguments. The rest, they just are waiting for you to be labeled in some way and to dismiss everything you have to say on that basis. Tillman says, JF, did you see the founder of Oath Keepers was just sentenced to 18 years in federal prison? Yes, I've seen it. And I believe that the people who had this sentence, they had minimal involvement. One of them apparently wasn't even in the Capitol. He was outside and he was thinking it was ridiculous to try to attack the Capitol. But he gets charged in this whole conspiracy. And with conspiracy conceptions, you can obtain anything you want, really. So yes, I think those are miscarriages of justice. Now, 18 years. What the fuck? That there are some of the punishments that are much more reasonable. Months, a couple of years. But 18 years, that is ridiculous. But you know, it's what's happening in this country. Basically, you cannot go into leftist places anymore, and they will have their juries to find you guilty of anything. Now, I'm not saying that none of these people committed crimes. Some of them kind of stepped onto the property of others. You know, there was a guy on the office with his legs on the table. But it's like a minor property crime at best, or a minor trespass case. But the leftists have taken this to be this whole revolution against the US, which it is in a way, but it is in a way in the sense that there was a true block of the democratic process for, what, a few hours? But blocks like this of a process that is legitimate happen all the time, and no one gets sued for it. The leftists don't get sued when they stop traffic, when they even enter the Capitol with their banners to disrupt assemblies and stuff of that sort. They don't get accused of a conspiracy against their state. Breaking a car as rammed into the Downing Street gate. Go away, says, don't tread on my desk. Pelosi was the real libertarian all along. Yes, hilarious. Some car rammed. Similar to the case, it would seem, of this Indian guy, this Indian neo-Nazi, for whom they dropped all charges. An important decision of the Supreme Court came out today. In the case that is called Sackett versus EPA. So to make a long story short, there was a rule that was saying the United States government, the federal EPA, has jurisdiction over your actions if they impact the waters of the United States. And the waters of the United States was not defined fully to the extent where there has been across the many decades where this rule was applied, uncertainty around is the EPA overreaching. And in this particular case, they went after a guy who was shaking grounds on his land for building a house or whatever. And they were arguing that the shaking of the ground was impacting a wetland, you know, a land where there's some water, but it's not quite a lake and it's not a river. So it was a wetland of just accumulations of water in the form of a quasi pound or something. And then the question, because the EPA has been very overreaching in interpreting basically anywhere where there was water, to be saying it's ours, it's federal government regulated. So that way they could go after you, even if you're in a Republican state that is sympathetic to land ownership. If there was a little bit of water here or there, they could go after you. John Drake says they've used against people over puddles, literally. Exactly. So now the Supreme Court has said, look, these so-called wetlands, they won't qualify. It's not in the law that those... The law says just the waters of the United States. But that doesn't mean you have jurisdiction over a glass of water, you know. The waters of the United States will heretofore. Is that the word, heretofore? Heretofore, the waters of the United States will be interpreted in the classical, traditional manner of the big rivers and lakes that are important to interstate commerce, but not anywhere there's water, including wetlands that are on private property. So they say there will still be wetlands that will qualify as federal waters, but it will be wetlands that are evidently connected to a lake or to a river, but no more these puddles in people's courts. So I think it's a great decision. It's an example of the advantage of having a Republican Supreme Court. It will pull the system slightly more toward ownership, liberty, and respect of ownership rights. And less power to the federal government. You know, that's why all of these cases around the EPA are very important, because they ultimately reveal how much a hostile Democrat administration can hurt you in a Republican state, because that's their tool to get at you. When you're in a Republican state, you are protected from most... henceforth was the word, henceforth. When you are in a Republican state, in a truly Republican state, not Texas, not Florida, but when you are in a truly Republican state, you are protected from federal overreach, but not if the state cannot do anything to protect you. So if the federal government has made itself sneakily obtain reach into that state because they claim jurisdiction over this or that, the more spaces where you can get them not to claim jurisdiction is going to secure the great sort, this great sorting process that's happening in America, where right-wingers will gather in some surviving Republican states. Great Ape says, something very weird happened to humans that seems to not be explainable. It may be aliens. Okay, that's a theory. Aaron McIntyre, always a great thinker, he says the Bud Light phenomenon is about to do for corporate grooming what lockdown remote learning did for public school, CRT, and gender indoctrination. Make what was already rampant so painfully obvious that Red America can't ignore it anymore. North Face pushing this for 2 to 7 years old. Beautiful to see the right wing assembled around causes that are truly fighting leftist narratives and leftist propaganda. The public's trust in the Fed is at a multi-decade low. More specifically, respondents are asked how much confidence they have in the current Fed chairman to do or recommend the right thing for the U.S. economy. And look at this. It starts at 74% in 2001. 74% support goes down, down, down. And we are at Jerome Powell in 2023, 36%, all-time low. I think that the Bitcoin phenomenon has led people to realize, okay, there's really a problem with these guys. Jordan Shachtel has a very good analysis of the problem with Trump. Trump just cannot bring himself to admit that his last year in office was a catastrophic disaster. It's what ultimately convinced me that it's time to move on. Those who cannot admit to their mistakes are destined to repeat them. That is a massive problem with Trump. He's never come to, because of his whole kind of deceptive direction of, oh, well, they stole the election from me. We were doing good. We were doing awesome. Because of this, you can't realize that there are things that he did wrong. And so he cannot improve from the last time, because his brain of marketer and always positive and always everything works, it's not the kind of brain that is easily correctable. Great Ape says, well, what is your theory, Jeff? Why hasn't evolution selected human-like characteristics before? It selected fish like animals and wolf / lion like animals multiple times. What in human evolutionary history would have prompted such dramatic deviation from the other animals? Well, you could argue that it didn't have a space to evolve before. You could argue that the direction toward humanity has not been available in our evolutionary history very often. You could argue that no fish can possibly directly evolve toward a civilizational, technological, type of species. And I don't know exactly, I don't know if that's the case, but it's definitely a possible hypothesis. That basically you needed to be in that weird tree grabbing monkey type of lifestyle before any access to a technological civilization could happen. So I think that there's thinking out there. I would have to research to know who have made these hypotheses, but I think there is such a conception that the tree lifestyle of monkeys is a key element leading to the path of humanity, and that it's kind of an evolutionary ingredient. Now, you might say, well, squirrels live in the tree. Well, maybe you need trees plus brain plus social tribe type of fighting. I don't know. It's an open question. I'm open to hypotheses in this direction. But I think it's been thought of before. John Drake says, de facto secession are coming. Yeah, Go Away says, you need Tums. Yeah, it's true that perhaps the toms eventually are useful to you hanging out in the trees, and then that transforms into a use of tool type of evolutionary direction. That is a very interesting hypothesis, and I think I had heard it before, yes. John Drake was saying, de facto secession are coming. Yes, and I can't wait for it. It's the only hope for a continued right-wing existence in America. Last news item before we close the show. Man paralyzed for 12 years walks again thanks to brain spinal cord implants. Gert-Jan Oskam, 40-year-old Dutchman, was paralyzed in his legs and partially paralyzed in his arms following a cycling accident 12 years ago, during which he suffered spinal cord damage. So they plug a device to the head, they plug stimulators inside the spinal cord. So you have a cut between these two elements, but electronics are now transferring the stimulation. It's very close to the type of brain recordings I was doing in monkeys. We knew about this kind of technology, and it's been developed for decades now, that they've been slowly building these recordings to be more and more precise. Good for him if he can benefit from it. I don't think it's perfect, though, yet. I think there will be lots of perfectioning to do to this technology, and I don't know because we did have the problem with this technology that it breaks the brain tissue. Eventually, the brain tissue scars, kind of reacts to the presence of an electrode, and eventually there's no more neurons you can find in a given area because you ruined it mechanically. So I don't know how long can this healing be available for patients before the chip has to be replaced to some other location. But certainly it's not easy on brain tissues and spinal cord tissues to have these electrodes constantly there. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Yesterday, after the show, I did an interview about TRP. I think it will be published tomorrow or this Saturday. So I'll let you know the links on my social media accounts. You know, thankfully, I thought about it because after the show yesterday, I went to relax. I was like, okay, let's relax. I've been working hard today. And I didn't realize that this interview was scheduled. But thankfully, it wasn't a live interview. And thankfully, so 17 minutes late, I realized, oh, shit, I had an interview. It's at the Blood Satellite podcast. And let me tell you, this guy interviewed on TRP after truly reading the book and truly understand it. I always love it when someone takes the time to fully read the content and understand it. And then, you know, we can talk. Because when they don't read it, I know it. It's like evident. It shows. It leads to questions that are not super relevant. And so I really like that we had a mind there that was serious about engaging with the content. Spindly Opinion says, I know Blood Satellite, they have good guests. I don't know at all about the podcast, so I guess I'll see their YouTube channel once I get the link, but I never watched it. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.